Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and welcome to the Blessings of Christ on this lovely, lovely day in May. This is the kind of day in May that songs and poems were written about. Dancing around the maypole, children's festivals, celebrations of spring. Because, you know, in a lot of the Western world where most of our ceremonies come from, people lived a little further north than we did, and it was colder. A lot of us who are fortunate enough to live in the South, and I do say fortunate and mean it, we get to celebrate spring in April, sometimes even in late March. But this is one of those days that really epitomizes spring and calls us into celebration of the birds and the flowers and the soft breezes and warm sun. So, Nancy, how are you?
Oh, I am really good, having a great day here, just like you're saying. It's almost summer down here. It's like, gosh, we're getting a nice warm day. The kids are all outside at the pool, and I'm hunkered in my lovely sacred space here, and I'm going to offer all of them into the blessing. But we're doing great. We're, trying to live in our heart and be in love and try to be that undistorted, clear channel as best as we can.
I think the springtime is a wonderful time to set our pace for the new year. In our geopolitical world of modern organization, we see the beginning of the war of the new year on January the 1st. But in the very, very ancient world, the new year was started on the equinox, because if you were in cold country a few thousand years ago, or even 100 years ago, you didn't have central heating. You were still bringing in the logs. You were still putting the livestock up at night. And it didn't feel like much of a new year to you. So and this is what the solar new year was planned around. This is what the astrological new year was planned around. All of these different sciences of time and circumstances really, really centered around the birth of a new natural year, which is springtime. And even though we have adapted to an environment that is compensated for by mechanics and supplementation, our bodies are still part of the natural world, and our biological clock is part of the natural world. I'm personally going through a real struggle on that, because for most of my life, being an artist, a teacher, professor who stayed up late at night to prepare next day's classes, and then a spiritual receiver who found the late night hours to be much less cluttered with mental interference, shall we say. I was more able to write, more able to receive, to listen, to understand. And then in my marriage to Larry, I was with someone who was the original night owl. We're talking about sleeping at 3 in the morning, or maybe 4 in the morning for him. So for decades, I was pretty much a night owl, and I would not get sleepy when the sun went down. In fact, I wouldn't get sleepy when we crossed the midnight hour. It took a lot to get me sleepy. Then, of course, I would have to sleep late. But when I was in college, whether studying or teaching, I scheduled all my classes for 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And for me, that was just preceded by breakfast. So I am at that point in my life where I know my health and stamina and joy of life will be multiplied by getting more on the natural clock. And it's really interesting, funny, strange, amusing, and frustrating how something pulls a trick on me every night. The problems I didn't have during the day will pop up after midnight. So I have to stay up and do them. Or I'll get a message, a note, a call from a friend I dearly want to hear from. Well, she calls at 1 in the morning because she thinks, well, that's the best time to reach her. So it's not just for me just deciding to take some chamomile, drink some chamomile tea and take some melatonin and turn the lights out. No, it's very, very deep-seated. And the tricks are unending. You know, last night I made a vow to go to sleep early. Well, I kept my vow. I fell asleep in my chair at 9 o'clock and slept 3 hours without having fed the cats, without having had my own dinner, without putting up everything and getting ready for today. So I wake up at midnight, and I'm then dishing it out till 2 in the morning. Okay, how's that for a trick?
You had a power nap.
I mean, the tricks are never ending. It's kind of like people who've been through AA or Smokers Anonymous, and you found out the tricks are never ending, because once we have actually set our habits for life and our habits for living, our body does everything possible to comply. It actually wants to be obedient to us. But it's also created by God and nature. And we've got to give it that priority for it to be at its best. So I'm finding one of the greatest sacrifices I have made in my life is to give up the schedule that I so dearly loved and benefited by and was productive from and joyful from, giving it up. It is not something like giving up alcohol, you would think. Well, but when we get dependent on certain habits, they become an integrated part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading a quote today. It was from one of the great spiritual teachers of our day. And it stimulated me to tie my own experience together with something I could share with you. And it said, if you want to change your life profoundly, don't do it bit by bit. Okay, I found that doesn't work. Do it by changing the habits of your life. And I just almost hit the floor when I read that, because it is so much the lesson I'm learning right now. You know, we think the only habits we have to change are, destructive habits or self-destructive habits. We don't think we might have to change some of the delightful habits we have, like getting up in the morning, having coffee. Or I could think of about a dozen things right now. But I challenge you to think about your habits, because your habits can become so ingrained, they feel like truth to you. Now, how could this possibly be? You say, well, Glenda, having coffee in the morning is not the truth. Well, of course it's not. I know that. You know that. But when you get up in the morning and you're thinking, oh, gee, I need to wake up. Okay, I'll just go have some coffee. It is functioning like truth. See, there's where it comes in. And we hold to those things that we believe have benefited our lives and have become the patterns of our life.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a great state of demand for change in this world. So let's make it for good change. Most of the change in this world that's being pressed on us is actually quite artificial. Okay, stop resisting AI. Let it benefit your life. And I'm thinking right now, Start trusting in nature. Start revering, respecting your Heavenly Father and His guidance. Start accepting the love and the guidance of Christ and see what that does for you.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And in this great, great quest for change that I've been going through lately, I came up with a realization I shared with you last week. And it was that the joy I had in eating an orange. Well, these are the oranges I was eating and still am, are the heirloom antique organic oranges that there's nothing like in the modern world. And one of the things that makes them so great is they function, well, first of all, they're organic. And secondly, their timing has never been adjusted to bloom in the late summer. So we have a fall crop of oranges. No, not with the heirloom. That has to be GMO adjusted. The heirloom oranges are going to bloom in March. And that's why they have to grow very far south. So the blooms won't get frozen off by a late freeze. But when I was eating that, I thought, you know, I'm eating something that God created in perfect order. And while I eat this, the grace of God is going into my body. And then I just felt this inner radiance, like the hand of God was touching me inside, not just in spirit, but touching my body. And I thought, wow, this just feels amazing. Just feels amazing. And as I'm starting to adjust some of my habits, I'm having the same kind of experience of being in tune with the roosters crowing in the morning and watching the sunset in the evening, which is, again, touching the grace of God's creation. It's actually making a big difference. Now, what spurred this on is something I just want to give you just a brief response on, nothing in detail, but I've been going through a healing crisis for about 4 weeks. After surgery, I did not tell you about because I didn't want you to worry about me. And many, many of the blessing givers have been vigilant about offering me blessings daily. But I thought I was going to just pop right through that. I thought it was going to be like all the other times that I've been through something that required some intensive recovery. I'm just going to be right through it and be up doing things and feeling the same 2 or 3 days after. Well, it wasn't that way this time. And I had to figure out, what was it? Is it just my age? And then I thought, no, it couldn't be, because not too long ago, I was feeling better than I did when I was 30. I was thinking deeper thoughts than I thought when I was 25. And I thought, no, it's not that. And of course, I was seeing my doctor and going by with him. I said, no, it's just you're taking longer to recover. Well, I thought
But why? And all of a sudden, it really dawns on me that I have adapted in my life to a lot of things that are not indigenously healing, like my smartphone, my computer, the grocery store that is full of non-organic things, and schedules of life that are not built around God's creative divine order. And I just realized that as I've gotten older, it's not because I'm older. It's because over time, I have fallen into adaptation of things that are more artificial. Living on, heat, AC, no windows open, not taking my walks, thinking, oh, instead I can just do a few light yoga exercises inside. When a walk, even just around the block, would have done me more good because I would have been in touch with nature. And so that is where I began. Well, I tell you, it's the only thing that's worked. I possibly would have turned it over to Nancy today if it hadn't been for the last week and 2 weeks, I became intensive about converting my life into a recovery of natural patterns. And I really truly believe that the strength, the physical strength of my life was based on the fact that I was born into an agriculturally based family. I was taking care of ducks and chickens by the time I was 2 or 3 years old. I had a horse when I was a young child, rode it every day. I was helping mother and dad with the garden. When the people came out to plow, I was walking beside the horse. I planted slices of potatoes with my mother, harvested things with my mother and dad. We roasted our own corn. My dad had fixed a cooking where he could cook things outside. And I would say that, you know, because we didn't have air conditioning and didn't have central heat, I lived a lot of my life as a child in the equivalent of an outdoor living room. I was really loving reclining on an outdoor lounge, looking up at the tree, talking to the squirrels, and observing the birds. This carried me all the way through my life to writing Love Without End. At several points, I kind of got writer's block, not because I didn't have anything to say, but because I had too much to say, and I couldn't organize it well. And so I would go to the botanical gardens, and I would sit on a bench in the botanical gardens, and that place where I sat has been commemorated in a painting that is now a declut you can see online. It's called The Heart's Garden. That's where I wrote a lot of Love Without End. Well, I had to get back into God's way to carry forth his truth and the messages of Yeshua. And I think that vibrancy actually shows up in the book. And I tried to maintain that as much as I could until, of course, life got very, very challenging for me after 2018, on to the point where I had to say goodbye to my husband for a while and find ways of carrying on myself. And that involved coping with a lot of, shall we say, surrogate appliances, things that helped me get things done in the house, things that helped me prepare food, you know, a typical modern life, you know. I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that actually weakened me tremendously. It wasn't my, well, it was partly the trauma. I have to admit that, yes. But it wasn't my age. It was that I had become dependent upon things that don't give back life. Okay, now what am I talking about? All right, well, let's just say a hand mixer to make up some scrambled eggs. In the old days, I'd just grab a fork, I'd sit on the porch, and I would just beat the eggs up, give them to mom. My mom would go scramble them. Okay, it was all part of a natural cycle. But no, not today. I have to get out a mixer, and then I got to get the right blades on it and get the right speed so I don't over break up the, you know, the egg. And then, you know, I've got to get the temperature just right on the oven. And so on and so forth. Oh, and yeah, there'll be an air fryer in the mix and more things that don't give back life. Actually, I love my air fryer because I can cook a lot of things without fat. I can create some really amazing dishes with just air. And it helps the content of the food to be more natural. It's good. It's really good to put butter on corn and roast corn that way. Okay, all that's good. Not complaining about that. But the thing is, the air fryer doesn't give back life. When I was a child, my mom and dad and I would put a skewer through the corn cob. And by the way, that corn was not GMO in those days. We would dip it in butter. My dad would have a bright fire going. We would sit around the fire and roast our corn while we're having a conversation. And in the meantime, the fire is giving off life. And the roasted corn is, it just seems more alive. Because that preserves the moisture in it. It doesn't dry it out. It preserves the flavor. It caramelizes the corn. And the conversation among all of us participating gave back life. We're doing so many things today that we give life to, and it's not giving life back to us. I want you to consider that. I want you to take an assessment of how many things in your life you're giving life to that are not giving life back to you. Just think about it, because there needs to be in all the things of God and God's creation a balance of giving and receiving. Really, I want you to take a look at that balance of life. I want you to look at how all the better ways you can receive life. It will help you in receiving everything. And in the middle of all of this research, personal research and discovery I've been going through, is that, you know, I've been talking with you many times in the past about coaching you on receiving. And I've noticed that receiving has become more difficult today than it ever was in my childhood. In my childhood, you know, mother could just bake too many cookies and she'd take the overage to the neighbors. And they wouldn't say, oh, no, thanks, we don't eat cookies. They wouldn't turn it away. If they didn't eat them, they'd pass them on. It was not a problem for people to receive. And, of course, we always had more fruit and more vegetables than we could consume. And mother would set up a little stand on the front of the property where people could stop by and get tomatoes or watermelons or whatever we had extras of. Receiving was not a problem because we were part of the natural world of giving and receiving. But I really came up with a thought that I think that is very important, is that today, in a world where so many things are marketed, we don't trust what's being marketed to us. In a world where everything is manipulated, we pull back and take a second thought over, well, do I really trust that? Do I really want that? They're trying awfully hard to sell it to me, but do I want it? Do I need it? Okay. And then also in a world where so much is contrived and artificial, we have consumed a lot of things that have not benefited us. And so we began to be distrustful of the things we actually are receiving and consuming. And how many times have you said, well, I'm not going to eat that again. Ew. I thought I was going to like it, but no thanks. Not going to, no. Once was more than enough. How many times have you said that? I don't think, as a young person in a natural world, I said that really ever, unless I picked up some fruit that was still a little green, and I'd go, ooh, I better wait before I eat the next one. But it wasn't like I rejected it or condemned it. It was just like I learned a lesson. And, okay, the next one I'm sitting in the windowsill before I eat it. You know, we were my purpose in doing this is that I want to remind you that blessings come from God. And so much of the love that we receive in life that carries us to higher places comes from the Holy Spirit and from Yeshua. Except for our closest ones, our family and our best friends, most love is just a social expression today. It's about being cordial, friendly, smiling. Now, hey, that's better than nothing. I'm sure not against lots of smiles being out there. But it can give us the impression we're really receiving something that we're not. We think we have a friend, and we just got an acquaintance. So take a look at your friends and write them a letter. Call them. Be with them. Cultivate those friendships that are really dear to you. Take care of your families. Take care of your loved ones. You will miss them when they're gone. And the social acquaintances you make at the gym and even at church, they're not the same. They'll find a reason to not be with you when you need some help. But I'll remember you in my prayers. It's not the same, my friends. I'm telling you about life the way it used to be when we took care of each other. And it was a different world. I want that back. I really do. And I am most definitely not against AI if it's used with value, application of purpose, genuine purpose, not serving manipulative agendas. Unlikely that it will be as pure as I would like it to see, but, you know, we can hope for the best. There's a lot about medicine that I don't, I'm talking about scientific medicine, that I don't really care for, but at the same time, I have to praise the things that have worked and have saved so many lives and made such a difference in the world, including mine. For the good things in it, I am so grateful. And there are many good things. There will be good and not so good things in everything because we're human. And as humans, we're learning how to be better. But I want to call your attention to the concluding statement of every act of creation that God made. For every act of creation, at the end, he paused, he reviewed it all, and he said, and this is good.
Mm-hmm.
His summation was good. God is good. His creations are good. And look for them so much as you can in life. It will make your life better. I can promise you that. It will make your life better. Oh, another thing I learned on my current agenda, and I'll pass it on to you because I think it's very, very beneficial. I've always been a proponent of raw honey as a health food. It's a very important health food. And I just thought it was healthy because it was an elixir of life that had been created to feed the next generation of bees, that had been created as their medicine, their source of life, their agenda for living, and so forth. And it had all the components of truly therapeutic glucose, not the stuff that comes from sugar cane, but truly therapeutic glucose, which our body actually needs a lot of. And the organ that needs it the most is your brain. Okay, anyway, I didn't have this thought until I was reading something from an African medicine man. And we're talking about still living with indigenous people, that people from all over the world come to consult. And he's an herbalist, has some amazing herbal recipes. But what he said about honey just blew me away. He said the honeys, the bees are collecting your herbs for you. And all of the herbs are found in honey. That blew me away. To think that the bees have already collected these essence of herbal medicine and herbal therapy that the plants are creating and putting it together in the most miraculous form of glucose our body can take in. And then I thought, wow, oh my goodness, this is amazing. This is amazing. And then he began to talk about olive oil. Now we're talking about the really pure stuff, the extra virgin pure olive oil. And there are even different grades of that, so you need to study about it. But he was said, this fruit is grown by the sun, and its roots are created from ancient soil to adapt and extract minerals from ancient soil. And they pull up from the soil, the polyphenols that your body needs to process fats. And he said this is especially important for your brain, because your brain has to have the correct amount and type of fat. Mm-hmm. He said You put that together with honey, and you've got a miracle medicine. So his recipe, I don't have the exact figures on it, but I wrote it down, but I saved it on my phone. Unfortunately, there's a flaw right there of depending on these machines that we so often do. But I can basically tell you what it was. It was equal parts of the raw honey with equal parts of the high-grade, pure, extra virgin olive oil. And then you heat some water. Don't put it in the microwave because that alters the constituency of the water. Okay? You heat it, and you're mixing the honey and the olive oil together, extra amounts. And then you put enough, not boiling water, but very, very warm water, so that it will melt the honey and blend the olive oil perfectly. And you stir it, until it becomes liquefied. I don't make it too, I didn't make it real runny because I actually wanted to put it on toast the next day. But it does get, then you put it in the refrigerator after it cools down, put it in the refrigerator and don't have any of it for 24 hours. He said there's an alchemy that happens between the olive oil and the honey that is, will give your body everything it needs and also cause your brain to begin triggering healing sequences that will affect any and every disease you might have. And I thought, well, look, I'm on a healing quest right now. I'm going to try it. So I did. And it was nicely congealed the next morning enough I could take a spoonful of it and put it on to some gluten-free bread that I toasted, put a little butter on, and then this. Oh, my goodness, it was like food from heaven. I had more energy all day. I really did. That's why I'm passing it on to you. So every now and I'm not an herbalist. I'm not a doctor. But every now and then I run across something that is such a perfect gift of nature.
Mm-hmm.
I can't resist passing it on to you because this is so good. And it is just the right amount of sweetness to make your bread taste wonderful. And it overcomes any strong flavor in the extra virgin olive oil that you might not normally like. It's just a blessing. It's a blessing. I really recommend you try it.
Yeah.
Well,
I recommend, Glenda, thank you for sharing that. I recommend it. I make a salad dressing that's my absolute favorite with olive oil, apple cider vinegar, and honey, and a little bit of Dijon mustard. And it's just like, it's heaven. It's the best homemade dressing,
yeah.
You know, and it doesn't take much, you know. So anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there.
Thank you. It's not this medicine man's recipe. What he wanted to do was to create a perfect alchemy between the raw honey and the polyphenols in the olive oil. So he was creating medicine. But if you're just interested in something delicious, I would certainly go with you, Nancy. I think it would be fabulous.
Well, I just love everything you said because it's just, to me, for me, it's really about, you know, restoring our wholeness and, you know, coming back to remembering who we are and waking up. We have to align it with, you know, how we treat our bodies and all these habits that get to be, as you said in the past, blockages sort of to that love, aliveness, and joy. Like you used to talk about Folgers in your cup, you know, and be the first, you know, but it really wasn't the actual substance itself, but it was that action of going to that and that sort of that attachment thing, if you will.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. What an important subject for, you know, bringing in what needs to come through to us now to change everything in this world, you know?
Well, I thought it was good for a springtime celebration, you know, because this is a good time for us to reconnect with nature and our natural self. So that was just a little break from our usual meanderings around heaven. I thought we would meander around the planet today.
But it's so relevant and it's all connected. So thank you. Gosh.
Yeah.
That was
helpful. Well, we've got time. We've got time for questions and answers. So let's get on with it, Nancy.
Okay. We've got Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. Thank you for that. That was just so right on what you said about everything, because I grew up in a somewhat of a similar way out in the country outside Sydney in Australia, and what you were saying is exactly right. And I was talking to a young friend about getting back to that yesterday, as a matter of fact. We were talking about how far we've got away from the natural way of being and friendship and caring about each other, and just everything you said was just exactly what I was talking about yesterday with a friend. So thank you for that. That's really heartened my soul. I would just like to ask for a blessing for my friend Jana and her friend and her sister Lynn, who live on the Isle of Wight, who are going through some rough times with their future and their health and things that need to happen. I would just ask Yeshua for a blessing to help life come more smoothly for them and for them to make some good decisions for how they proceed going forward together. And also just a blessing for myself. I feel that there are big changes coming where I'm working. I'm not sure what's coming. I think I have a little bit of fear inside, and I'd like to release that and just to be open to all the opportunities and the new things that need to come into my life, because my life needs some, the springtime, it needs a renewal, and I need to do and be a new way and do things a new way. So I'd ask just for a blessing for myself that Yeshua would give me understanding and show me how to deal with the changes that are coming in my job and where I fit into it and opportunities, and see everything as a blessing and needed, and to just release this silly fear about the future that, you know, being human, we sometimes do, you know, wonder, oh my God, what will happen here or there. And I think it's all good, so I would just ask for a blessing for everything to just work in God's perfect way.
Oh, it will. And we would love to give you that blessing.
Thank you so much.
We just want to see you happy and revitalized and moving forward.
Yes, exactly. Revitalized and moving forward. That's exactly what I want.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Yes. And gratitude for what I do have and the place I have, and that I do have a job and that I'm pretty healthy. Gratitude for all the things that I do have already as well.
Amen.
That's important. Because that plants a seed, Elizabeth. Gratitude is a seed we plant for the future.
Indeed. Yes.
Thank you, Elizabeth. We love you. So glad you're here with us today. I'm going to take another caller now, Glenda. We have Christopher. Your line is open.
Oh, good morning. Hi, Glenda. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Christopher.
Well, thank you again. As Elizabeth said, the timing of your message was really profound and beautiful. I was laying and sitting in the sun with it on my face while you were talking, and I had a friend come visit this last week who I haven't seen in 22 years.
Oh,
and he was, it was an incredible experience because, you know, in college we were best of friends. We lived together. We went through spiritual awakening. We went through love and loss and sickness and death. And we just, the bonding that we experienced as a group and him and I together was just so profound that even 22 years later, it's amazing that we're reading similar authors and we just pick up where we left off after him having three kids and a wife and an intense career, you know? So I just really agree with you. I leave that experience feeling how important it is to have that level of depth in our friendships and how much that seems to be missing in my life. How I'd been craving for it and praying for it, not knowing what it was that was missing until here we were together in this most natural, deeply intimate, loving knowing of one another. And our souls were just flaring up inside of our bodies, filling us with warmth and a remembrance of who we are. And so that's just what a blessing. I want to send a blessing to him and his family because they're going through a big transition. His name's Eric. His three kids, his wife, just want a blessing for them and the transition that they're going through.
Okay.
And I also, I want to acknowledge Pentecost. Today's the day of celebrated in the Christian church around the coming of the Holy Spirit. And
amen.
Amen, right? 1 year ago on Pentecost, I had an experience of the Spirit come over me in a way that I never had quite before, and I mentioned it last year on the call. And so today I'm just feeling the warmth of the Holy Spirit and gratitude for Spiritus Church and the ancient, timeless lineage of the Holy Spirit. And I just had one question or a little question for you or a set of questions for you, Glenda, about the Spirit and the Spiritus Church and the Holy Spirit. And I'm curious about this because, you know, if you look at the Old Testament and you see that the Spirit was guiding the people and the Spirit was manifesting in the fire, the burning bush and the pillar of fire that guided them through the desert. You know, they had a connection with Spirit, but something very specific seemed to have happened on that day of Pentecost for the Christian lineage or the Christ-driven expression of that Spirit. And I just wondered if you could say anything about the specificity of that, if there was something new, or if it was always there, but it was expressed in a new way, or, yeah.
I can say something very specific about it. It may and I think it's very appropriate for Pentecost. Every student of the Bible, of theology, will confirm there in the Old Testament, there is no Trinity. There is no Trinity. The Spirit is mentioned a number of times. By the Spirit of God, this was done. By my Spirit, all things were created. It was like by my Spirit. But the way Spirit was referred to in the Old Testament was more like an expression of God, an expression of God's will to intend and carry forth in the urging of creation. In other words, God said, "Let there be light." Well, it was his Spirit that commanded that. Okay. But there was not a personification of Spirit in any way, nor is it ever referred to in a personified way before the presence of Yeshua. Yeshua was born to be a materialized human representation, piece of God. To represent would be like it was like a Polaroid photograph. No. Actually, it's a piece of God. A slice of the hologram. Let's just say if we could compare God to a hologram of everything that is. There's one fascinating thing about a hologram is you can cut off any piece of that hologram and recreate the whole from it. Well, Yeshua was that piece. And it was a physical extraction from the body of God, which is why he was referred to as a begotten son. Now, here's where, if you'll listen closely, you'll see the specific difference. Humans were created physically, and then the breath of God was breathed into them. Meaning, at the time that humans were created, and we don't know when that was. I'm sure at some point it will be revealed. But I'm not sure it can actually be decoded from a biblical numerology. But if we are faithful to the text and the meaning of human creation, we were created from a physical source into which the breath of God was breathed. But if the breath of God is no different than your breath is an expression of yourself. It was an expression of God breathed into humanity, which means it was not ever going to be perfect without a lot of living, exploration, experience, discovery and union with the Creator. In other words, we were created in order to come back to our Creator. Yeshua was not created that way. It was literally a piece of God's substance that was extracted from God, leaving literally a hole, a vacuum, that then lived on the earth and reconnected God with humanity, because it had to be done or we wouldn't make it. And this is what it really means, that Yeshua was our salvation, because as humanity, we wouldn't have made it. We were going in the wrong direction. We were going away from God, not toward God at all. See, we were created to come back and find God, our Creator, but we weren't doing that. So God literally extracted a piece of himself, itself. I'm not going to say her, because her is secondary, but... And I think he is just a little more exalted. I don't want to call God it, and never will. Okay? So let's not get into gender disputes there, but it was a piece of the godly substance, okay, that was birthed on earth. Now, when that godly substance was crucified and rose from the dead, to transform the physical substance of Yeshua back into God, there was another vacuum left. And the Holy Spirit is that expression of God that filled the vacuum and literally became the third person of God. A lot of people have that wrong. They think, well, there's God, there's Spirit, and there's Christ. There's God, there's Christ, and then there's the Holy Spirit, which is a personified entity, not just the breath of God. The breath of God moves everything, the trees, even the rocks, because they have energy. They leave an energetic, if you pick up a rock and it's moved, their energetic imprint can be detected for quite a while. It's been a while since I've read about that, so I can't tell you how long, but possibly as long as a century, because geologists can actually detect where certain rock forms that exist over here existed in another place not too long ago. Those energetic traces are there. And so because everything is energetic, God moves all of creation by his Spirit. But the personified Spirit of God wasn't possible until Yeshua's resurrection and departure left a vacuum that had to be filled. That's why it came on the day of Pentecost. Everybody, what was it? Well, everybody was lamenting. They were in what's called the upper room, the room above the apostle Mark's home, his mother's home. And they were gathered up there, many of them, and they were moaning and crying and missing him and saying, well, what will happen to us? We're all going to be persecuted. We're going to have to leave town. We're going to have to leave one another and go out into the world. How can we survive? You know, it was like, poor me. Pity pot. Totally. And then this storm of energy moved into the room that almost blew them down. It lit flames on their shoulders. It poured through them until they were able to turn the inspirations of God into words. They could understand any and every language. Now, Pentecost, what's key also for you to understand right there is that Pentecost was a pre-existing holiday.
Pentecost is when the celebration in the ancient world, it was the springtime celebration for when they would bring the seeds they would plant and their plans for cultivation through the summer. It was the pre-harvest prayer, where you pray for God's abundance through the year. You're celebrating nature, which is why I chose today to celebrate natural abundance, nature, God's way in nature. That's what the Hebrews had done for centuries. And on the major Hebrew holidays, well, the Jews would come from everywhere. And the Jews were not just in Jerusalem. They were all over the land of Israel, and even adjoining nations had a lot of Jewish people living there, perhaps from their heritage, perhaps for their family, their business, whatever. But they would come and celebrate Pentecost in Jerusalem, as they did many of their feast days. Well, the courtyard, which was not too far away from Mary's house, was filled with travelers. And a lot of them did not speak Hebrew or Aramaic. But the apostles went out to the people in the courtyard. They could understand every language, and they could speak in every language, revealing that there's something in our mental equipment that is a universal language translator and communicator. They could do that. This is actually what's meant by speaking in tongues. It's one of those terribly misunderstood things that people create gibberish thinking that's what it is. They were actually so cleared in their mind by the presence of the Holy Spirit, they could understand all tongues and they could speak in all tongues. At that moment, they knew they were given the gift to go out into the world and bring the message of Christ, the revelation, the good news, the truth that would set them free and that would bring them back to God. Mm-hmm. So they went out with a joyous heart, and they spoke and they taught, and their fears and their grief was overcome, was completely overcome by joy. Mm-hmm. And from that moment on, the presence of the Holy Spirit was invited as a personal presence of God. Never do you find that in the Old Testament. It doesn't exist. Because in the Old Testament, Spirit was the breath of God.
Thank you, Glenda. Wow.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah, a lot of people are not going to want to hear that, Christopher. But I'm speaking on the genuine belief that people here do want to hear that, and they mm-hmm. want to know how to connect with Yeshua and with God. You know, we were forewarned that we should not try to name God. We cannot place an identity on God. Everything that he is, just imagine the creator of the universe, everything, literally, material universe, the subatomic universe, everything, and we as this little microscopic point in time and space have the audacity to think we can name him, we can ascribe characteristics to him, we can say that he's this and he's that, and you're wrong if you believe him to be some different way.
Well, that's what's caused the conflict between religions, is our audacity. Audacity to think that we can proclaim the being of God. But at the same time, being the humans we are, we need a personal presence. And God created the perfect personal presence, which is Himself in spirit. And in spirit, God can be exactly what you need Him to be.
Beautiful, Glenda. Thank you, gosh. I think it was everything everybody needed to hear. Wow.
Yes. Well, we do need Him. Did that help, Christopher?
Oh, so much, Glenda. I really appreciate it. You know, I honor and revere this day. It stands out as something very, very palpable to me in my being. There is a distinction because I've been in other traditions where they will work with spirit in the form of Shakti, or, you know, there's various ways that the spirit manifests, and this feels very palpably unique. And also just to honor the Spiritist church that we're in, because,
Well, the Spirit of God is still the Spirit of God is still in all things. It didn't go away. But this special personified Spirit of God was born on the day of Pentecost. Okay?
Yep.
Wow, that was wonderful. I'm going to say goodbye, Christopher. We've got so many more community members here. But thank you for bringing that out, Glenda, and Christopher, for asking that profound question. So God bless you, and God bless this day. I'm going to open up Nancy's line here, Glenda. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. I was calling to ask for a blessing for my friend Anna Jay. We have asked for blessings and said prayers for her previously. She's the woman who fell on a cruise ship, ended up in the hospital in the country of Colombia for a few weeks, and then was transferred to Boston. Well, at last, she is able to return to her home in Florida, and she will be doing on Thursday, May 23rd. And as you can imagine, having been hospitalized for months, her stamina has been reduced, and there are still some things that need continued healing. So what I would ask for special blessings for her. Her left leg still isn't functioning perfectly, but she is able to walk around her home without assistance. So she can do that without a cane, and she can do it without a, I think she called it a rollator. But anyway, I would ask for special blessings and feel Holy Spirit lifting her up and holding her up and helping her to restore the balance in her life and raising her up to that place of perfect love, perfect life, and perfect substance. So that's the blessing I ask for Anna Jay.
Oh, okay.
And thank you for doing that.
A pleasure. Anna Jay.
Anna Jay.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Nancy.
Okay, well, tell her we love her and we're praying for her. Okay?
I will surely do that. Thank you. And thank everybody on the call.
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of us here together. I'm going to open Sarah's line. Thank you, Nancy. Hi, Sarah. We're so glad you're with us today.
Aloha, Nancy, and aloha, Glenda, and aloha to our beloved community. I wanted to express my gratitude to the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, come to me. Come to all of my brothers and sisters. I want to ask for a special blessing for my mother in heaven, Kathy Walton, her ongoing journey. We had a mass offered for her today. And I also want to ask for a special blessing for Yeshua, for my family that is left, and for all of our families. My mother passed 2 years ago, and my father, Peter, a blessing for him. He's just had such a hard time, such a challenge, and he just fell and broke 3 ribs. So blessings for his healing and for all of our elders. And related to that, blessing for our addictions and any of us, just healing for our addictions, and a blessing for my brother and me that we may come back together as siblings, and blessing for all siblings. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, and it's a pleasure to bless your loving family.
Yes.
Tell them we love them. Tell them somebody they don't know loves them, and prays for them.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we'll think of Tristan and Peter, and gosh, broken ribs really hurt, and there's nothing they can do for them, and they really hurt. So we'll be thinking of your dad. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank
we
you.
Love you. Glenda, we have Stephen Adler here. Hi, Stephen.
Oh, hello, everybody. I know we're short on time, but I just want to say thanks for mentioning the bees, Glenda. I recently was gifted with my first beehive, so I'm very, very excited about the bees in general right now. And,
oh, that's great.
I know, I'm really excited. So it's a lot of fun learning about it all. I was involved with a couple of bee rescues and relocations. A couple months ago, I joined a local beekeepers club, so it's been a great learning experience for me. And I just, every year I go through my annual herbal intestinal cleanse, and I'm in the middle of that now. And I just want to say it really each and every time I do it, it's always transformative. And it's a repeated experiment for me. I go through this, you know, detox period, and then I start feeling, and at the beginning I start feeling terrible, and then, you know, towards the second week I'm starting to feel better, and then by the third and fourth weeks I'm flying high. So it's really a testament to what Yeshua said in Love Without End, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. I really, it's so true that, mm-hmm. you know, our bodies are temples of the soul, you know, and so if we can keep our bodies in good, healthy, clean state, it really, really helps our attitude and spiritual life. It's so important. But I don't want to take too much time. I just want to say I'd like a blessing for my future father-in-law, Matthias, who's 99, will be 100 this year. And he recently went through this last week, 3 separate falls. So he's kind of in a hurting state right now. And then my future mother-in-law, she's currently sick too. Her name's Sandra. So anyway, just a blessing for both of their rapid healings, and that's it. So thanks again. I just love.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's everything you need blessings for. It just touches my heart because it's all about future, like with the bees and with your family. And congratulations on all the different points of your future. I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thank you, Glenda. Well, you know, it's really, honestly, it's plugging into this community and the work that has come through you over all these years that's just kept me inspired and kept me, strong during all the challenging times. So thank you. Many blessings to you and everybody on this call.
Thank you, Steve.
Oh, you are so welcome. We love you.
We sure do.
I love you.
I know it. I feel it. Okay, my dear. Well, we are going to have to, we have to cut our call. I'm so sorry for those who didn't. But you can, if you want to email me, we'll put your request on our list today. It is askablessing@christblessing.com. That's it. Forget it. All yeah. right, we're going to leave the Q&A mode. We're going to go into. Okay, my friends, I just want you to, I just want to make sure you're real relaxed, you're at peace with yourself, and this is not a time for worry. I know you have, you probably have your mind on a lot of things you would like to, well, have better. A little better of this or that, or why not? Why not? Let's make it all better. Let's have, but let's start with better faith, better joy, better optimism, and better plans for a future that really can be one quite wonderful. We have to remember to be grateful for those things that have been good for us because it helps us to receive more. And it helps us to plant a seed for more to grow. Abundance attracts abundance. It's a state of mind, a state of heart. And so let's just take a moment to be grateful. We've already said our prayers to God. We've already come with our needs placed on the altar to be lovingly received and blessed. Let's now put our heart of love on the altar. Let's just come and be a child of God, knowing that we are cared for, even when we don't see the sunrise on a sunny day. The clouds have a purpose. The rain has a purpose. And even the storms of life have a purpose. We're human, and the human trial and trail are intertwined. There are times when we're going to have to be, well, in tune with opportunities for betterment. And as we establish that attunement, those opportunities which are being given, or perhaps they're already there, will come to us. And then we'll see, yes, I was loved all along. Be prepared to be grateful. That's what I'm saying. Be prepared to be grateful again. And now let's take a deep breath. Really, fill your lungs. Expand them. Fill your sinus cavity with air as well. Hold it all full of air. And see that air as the Spirit of God. Now exhale it into life. And see it move through all the effects and affairs and situations of your life. To move them into better form. That is more agreeable and adaptable to your life. See a new breath coming in you. And it too is the breath of God. It fills your lungs. It fills your sinuses. It fills all the cavities of your body and touches all the organs to give them a gentle caress and encouragement to be at their best. And now we release that into the environment that it may carry you as a blessing into the world. For as you become a blessing, you receive blessings. As you become understood by others, you understand them. As you give yourself to others, they give themselves to you. We live in a universe created by a loving, giving, and receiving God, who is ever vigilant to keep all things in balance. Open yourself to the gifts he has ready for you, the encouragement, the guidance, and the love that is always there for you. And let's just take a minute to stretch. Whether you're laying down, sitting, or standing, there's something you can stretch. And it doesn't have to be your whole body. Just get your lymphatics to moving, your heart to pumping, your breath moving through you, so that inside your body and your person is movement, is energy. Now see your soul as a light that surrounds your body like the cocoon that holds a butterfly. Your soul is the temple in which your body lives and prepares your body to be a temple in which the soul lives. There is that kind of balance and reciprocity between the body and the soul. Let there be wholeness in your life, and let there be completion of every good thing you've ever started to bring back fullness to you. Oh Lord, we come to you humbly, placing our life in your hands, knowing that your hands are big enough to hold everything, knowing that your love is great enough to transform everything to the better, knowing that your spirit is so completely entrained to the universe that you can move mountains to bring about a better effect, a better creation. We ask that your person, your heart, your soul, and your presence with God be the light in our life and the guidance we seek, that all of our prayers may be answered. We thank you for giving us the hope to believe, the strength to pray, and the love to give of ourself into life, that life may give into us. All of these things we ask in your holy name. Amen. Now everybody begin your prayer. Just be silent. Be peaceful. Begin your prayer. Be open and receive. Blessing givers, will you join me now in offering the blessing? Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, just receive. Lie down. I want you to just either be on your bed, on the sofa, mat on the floor, on the grass, wherever. Just be horizontal. Because this is a time when all parts of your body need to be equal. None more important than another. All in a state of wholeness and balance. And you surrendering to the peace. Bye-bye for now. For me, be blessed. Have a wonderful week. And I look forward to being with you again next week.